Nau mai, haere mai. Welcome to the Maxim Institute podcast. My name is Jason, and I'm the Communications Manager at Maxim Institute. This is our weekly short-form podcast. These podcasts are released in tandem with our weekly column and are a chance for you to hear in-depth from the column's author about some of the thinking that went into producing their final piece. Today, we talk to Director of Research and Development Marcus Roberts about his recent column. Marcus, welcome to the podcast. It's good to have you with us, mate.
Thank you, Jason.
We are talking about your latest column for Maxim, A Slow-Moving Silent Revolution. Now, you start off by saying last year our population boomed. Isn't that a good thing?
Well, it depends on whether you're sitting in Auckland traffic or not. So, look, I mean, population growth is a double-edged sword in that people are generally good because they are contributors to society, because they pay taxes, because they work, they produce, they consume. That's all good economically. The double-edged sword is that also people need to be housed, they need to be able to move around cities, they need to draw down on healthcare, on education. So there's all infrastructure pressures that come with that. And particularly when we have, like last year, a quite remarkable increase in population. It was about almost 3%.
Wow.
And we haven't seen that amount of growth for decades. What is interesting about how that growth came about is that it was driven almost entirely by immigration. So we had 141,000 people increase in population last year. That was because we had about 250,000 people moving to New Zealand. And then you take away the people who left, and then you add the amount of babies we had minus the births. Okay, so there's sort of two broad ways we can increase population. You can attract immigrants, is what we're doing, particularly last year, or we can have more births than deaths, which increasingly is what we're not doing.
So our total amount of what you would call natural population growth,
yes,
is shrinking. So the amount of deaths and the amount of births are getting closer together.
Correct, yeah. So last year, fewer than 20,000. So the amount of natural increase was less than 20,000. So that was the lowest since World War II.
Wow.
And of course, back in World War II, it was a much smaller population. Mm. So in terms of proportion, it's extremely low. And the reason for that is the number of deaths keep on increasing, particularly as the baby boomers start to die off in greater numbers, but also the number of births that we're having is also trending downwards. And when you look at this rate, which is called the total fertility rate, which is often used in demography, the TFR, that's the number of children the average woman in a population is expected to have over her lifetime at any one point. Our TFR is currently at about 1.5. So every woman in New Zealand currently is having about 1.5 babies.
Mm-hmm. Or at least what should it be to maintain growth?
Yeah. So if you think about it, every woman to keep the population stable, so no growth and no decrease, is about 2.1. Mm. So one baby for dad, one baby for mum, and then 0.1 is to take into account children who don't make it into
adulthood.
Yeah, exactly. So we're far below 2.1. For a number of years, it was quite interesting. So in the 60s, we had a TFR of about 4, and then it really collapsed in the 60s, early 70s. And then it kept stable at about 2.1 for about 4 decades. So from about 1970 to 2010, it stayed at about 2.1. And we were quite, compared to most other advanced or OECD countries, we were quite fecund. 2.1 was quite high. But since about 2012, our TFR, our total fertility rate, has declined quite sharply. So from 2012 to 2023, 12 years, it's gone from 2.1 to 1.56. And there's no indication that it's going anywhere but continuing downwards.
So you've made the point in your column that you've just said we're not unique amongst the world and the Western world in particular. Mm. You make the point that about half the countries in the world have a below replacement, which is 2.1 kids per female mm-hmm. below fertility replacement levels of fertility. So half the countries in the world are going to be, if they want to continue population growth, which you've said is a good thing, we need people to fill jobs and maintain civil order in society, then we're all going to be competing for essentially the same in a shrinking pool of people. Mm-hmm. How's that going to affect New Zealand?
Well, it means that we can't assume that New Zealand will continue to be a attractive place for immigrants to come. Mm. Not so much that we'll become worse, I mean, that's always a risk, but that other countries will increase their efforts to attract immigrants. So two of the big countries that we think of when we think of population decline and fertility rate decline are Japan. So they haven't had a fertility rate of above 2.1 since the 70s or something like that. So for about 50 years, they've been below replacement fertility. And now their population is starting to decline. And the other one is China, which is also having a population that's starting to decline. What's interesting is both those countries are ones that are not destinations for immigrants. They tend not to attract immigrants. Mm. And so if that changed, for example, then you would have these economies, large economies, attracting immigrants. Would New Zealand be as relatively attractive? And if that is the case, then what are we going to do to change the way our society works to take into account that we're not reproducing ourselves naturally? We can no longer rely on immigration as we have done for the last probably 20 years to keep our population growing. Presumably, we will still have a exodus to Australia of you know, tens of thousands of people. I think
doctors and nurses,
police officers, yes. because it's, you know, you can make more money over there. So, what are we going to do about our economy and our society when we're not reproducing ourselves and we're not attracting migrants?
What are the implications then for our society if we continue on this trend and immigration slows and our population pyramid inverts? So we have a lot more elderly than the younger people. Mm. What does that look like?
Well, I
paint a picture us, Marcus.
I mean, part of the problem talking about this is we don't know because
it's never happened before.
Not. So obviously you have population decreases in times of war and plague, but long-term population decline, we've never really seen this before, at least we non-recorded history. And we've never seen an example of a country turn it around to go from below replacement to above replacement. So theoretically it's possible, but we haven't seen how or in what circumstances. But also our thinking is conditioned by the fact, I think, that we, for the last 150 years, the West has, and then the rest of the world, has had a population explosion, that we've always had more young people coming through the system. And our economic system, in many respects, is designed with that in mind. So to be crude and perhaps a little unfair, it represents a Ponzi scheme.
So that it's built on the backs of everyone coming into the system
as long
to
as
prop
you get
up
more,
the people at the top.
As long as you get more people coming in to pay your way in, what
You're
could go
okay.
wrong?
Yeah.
So particularly when you think about superannuation, for example, designed in the 19th century at a time where you had very few people living long because of medicine wasn't as advanced as it is today, but also you had large numbers of young people coming in to be the new workers, to pay taxes, to support superannuation and then public health. That's no longer the case. You've got people living longer, therefore drawing down more in superannuation, but also then drawing down more in public health resources, and fewer people in the working age paying taxes for that. So the question is, how do you pay for this? I often joke that I'm not, I often say that I'm not going to have superannuation when I'm 65. It's just not affordable.
There just won't be any money left, or there won't be people to pay for it.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. So
which is a bit depressing considering you're paying towards it now, right? You're never going to, there's money you'll never see.
Yeah, I think, well, that's why I think things like KiwiSaver and stuff are so important, private savings, because I don't think we can rely on it, because it's relying on people coming through who just, we're not having the babies now. to support them.
Mm.
So that's something to be aware of. I mean, there's a more broader question about what it means to live in a society which isn't reproducing itself. I mean, there's all sorts of questions around our mentality, us. Quite frankly, the I suppose spiritual side of it. Do we have hope for the future
If there's no children
coming through? Yeah. I mean, there will be children, but it's not the same as living in a society or a world that's growing. You sort of see these examples from Japan, which in many respects is the canary in the coal mine here, where you have villages which have emptied out of young people. They've all moved to Tokyo or Osaka.
Mm.
And the people left, the elderly people, to deal with it. One example was they made life-sized knitted dolls.
Wow.
And put them in the schoolyard and the playground, which is covered in weeds, and the train station. I mean, it's the freakiest looking thing,
but
a way to cope with
it's
the fact that there are children running around. So there's, I think the point is trying to make in this is a big issue.
Mm.
That we sort of talk about it, and that it gets a press release, and the media talk about it for one article. We don't really discuss it as we should.
Mm.
And the fact that it's not something that's theoretical, this is going to happen.
Mm.
The babies that are being born now, or the babies that aren't being born now, that's it. Then, therefore, in 20 years, going to be a smaller cohort of people of childbearing age to then have children.
Mm.
So it's kind of baked in the cake for at least a generation.
Mm.
And we don't know how to what that means.
Yeah, and we're not really talking about it, like you say, as we should, and planning and going, this is, like you say, this is going to happen.
Yes.
What can we do about it? We're just kicking the can down the road in some ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got, you know, people politicians in New Zealand saying we're never touching superannuation, its age or anything like that. And then you've got same in the US where, you know, both parties are saying we're not going to touch entitlements for Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security. And there are some estimates that they're going to run out of money for those programs by the end of this decade.
Wow.
But it's just politically, as you say, kick it down the road, because we've got a 3-year or a 4-year cycle. Hopefully it won't happen in my lifetime.
Yeah. And I'll
or my political lifetime, at least.
Yeah, so I'm not going to get in trouble for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marcus, lots to think about, particularly for the future. Thank you for being with us today and giving us that food for thought.
Hey, thanks so much, Jason. Last year, our population boomed. After 2 years of anemic population growth, 2023 saw the country grow by a whopping 2.8%, or 145,100 people. We haven't seen anything like this amount of growth for at least a generation. But this growth was almost entirely due to immigration. Our natural increase, births minus deaths, was less than 20,000, the lowest in almost 80 years. The number of deaths keeps increasing each year. At the same time, the number of births is trending down. Our total fertility rate, or TFR, is now at the lowest level ever recorded. A TFR measures the number of children a woman is expected to have in her lifetime. A TFR of 2.1 is the replacement rate, the number needed to keep a population stable without immigration. From the 1970s until 2012, our TFR hovered around 2.1. However, since then, it has steadily declined. Last year, it hit 1.56. To put that in context, with this TFR, 100 grandparents would have 61 grandchildren. But our nation is hardly an outlier in having a low TFR. In fact, we are still fecund compared to many other advanced economies, such as Japan, China, and South Korea. Globally, fertility rates are trending downwards. Over half of the world's countries have below replacement fertility rates. The world is going through a demographic sea change. Our population will get older. We need to start discussing how we are going to navigate this. Declining fertility has grave implications for our economic system. Our superannuation resembles a Ponzi scheme, only financially sustainable if there are more people, new workers, coming into the scheme than are leaving, retirees. But our population pyramid is now starting to look more like a column and will eventually invert. Just like it did in 2023, migration can make up for low or negative natural population growth. However, as the world's population continues to age and fertility rates everywhere decline, there will be hot competition for migrants. The UN predicts that over the next few decades, quote, migration will be the sole driver of population growth in high-income countries. Climate change concerns are driving at least some young people's choices to have fewer children. Well, there seems to be good reasons to think that if we do not change our consumption and travel lifestyles, limiting our family size will have little impact on climate change in the necessary timeframe. As Stats New Zealand notes, a declining fertility rate is correlated to increased female education and employment opportunities. However, it has also been observed that declining fertility rates in other countries, for example Australia and the USA, are partly attributable to women having fewer children than they desired. The author of one of those studies adds, "People feel more worried about the future than they might have several decades ago." American critic Ross Douthat puts it another way. "We are aging, comfortable, and stuck, cut off from the past and no longer optimistic about the future. But this future is coming, and it will be one marked more by funerals than by christenings."
Thanks for listening to the Maxim Institute podcast. If you'd like to hear more from us and keep up with the rest of our research and analysis of politics and policy in New Zealand, you can sign up on the homepage of our website to get our monthly forum email and invitations to future Maxim Institute events. You can search and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. From the team at Maxim, mā te wā, goodbye for now.